Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Arrow's Flight by Mercedes Lackey. Narrated by Krista Lewis. Prologue. Long ago. So long ago that the details of the conflict are lost and only the merest legends remain. The world of Velgarth was racked by sorceress wars. The population was decimated. The land quickly turned to wilderness and was given over to the forest and the magically engendered creatures that had been used to fight those wars, while the people who remained fled to the eastern coastline, there to resume their shattered lives. Humans are resilient creatures, however, and it was not over long before the population once again was on the increase, and folk began to move westward again, building new kingdoms out of the wilderness. One such kingdom was Valdemar. Founded by the once barren Valdemar and those of his people who had chosen exile with him rather than facing the wrath of a selfish and cruel monarch, it lay on the very western and northernmost edge of the civilized world. In part due to the nature of its founders, the monarchs of Valdemar welcomed fugitives and fellow exiles, and the customs and habits of its people had over the years become a polyglot patchwork. In point of fact, the one rule by which the monarchs of Valdemar governed their people was, there is no one true way. Governing such an ill-assorted lot of subjects might have been impossible, had it not been for the heralds of Valdemar. The heralds served many functions. They were administrative overseers, dispensers of justice, information gatherers, even temporary military advisors, answerable only to the monarch and their own circle of peers. Such a system might have seemed ripe for abuse. It would have been, but for the companions. To the unknowing eye, a companion would seem little more than an extraordinarily graceful white horse. They were far more than that. Sent by some unknown power or powers at the pleading of King Valdemar himself, it was the companions who chose new heralds, forging between themselves and their chosen a mind-to-mind bond that only death could sever. While no one knew precisely how intelligent they were, it was generally agreed that their capabilities were at least as high as those of their human partners. Companions could, and did, choose irrespective of age and sex, although they tended to choose youngsters just entering adolescence, and more boys were chosen than girls. The one commonality among the chosen, other than a specific personality type, patient, unselfish, responsible, and capable of heroic devotion to duty, was at least a trace of psychic ability. Contact with a companion and continued development of the bond enhanced whatever latent paranormal capabilities lay within the chosen. With time, as these gifts became better understood, ways were developed to train and use them to the fullest extent to which the individual was capable. Gradually, the gifts displaced in importance whatever knowledge of true magic was left in Valdemar, until there was no record of how such magic had ever been learned or used. So the governing of Valdemar evolved. The monarch, advised by his council, made the laws. The heralds dispensed the laws and saw that they were observed. The heralds themselves were nearly incapable of becoming corrupted or potential abusers of their temporal power. The chosen were by nature remarkably self-sacrificing. Their training only reinforced this. They had to be. There was a better than even chance that a herald would die in the line of duty. But they were human for all of that, mostly young, mostly living on the edge of danger. So it was inevitable that outside of their duty they tended to be a bit hedonistic and anything but chaste. And only seldom did a herald form a tie beyond that of brotherhood and the pleasures of the moment. Perhaps because the bond of brotherhood was so very strong, and because the herald-companion bond left little room for any other permanent ties. For the most part, few of the common or noble folk